It is Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, and happy to have with us this week Bruce Helmer, the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and financial advisor, and Senior Vice President and financial advisor, Peg Webb. Welcome to both of you. Happy to have everybody, have the crew back.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Peg. Good morning, Susie Jones, and good morning, listeners. Susie and listeners, Tuesday, as most of you probably know, the nation observes Veterans Day, and we thought that today Peg and I would talk about, we want to honor our veterans, honor our people that served, and talk about some specific financial planning ideas for America's heroes. And Peg, before we jump into the topic, I just want to say from a personal note, I never served, and I was born at a time that there wasn't a draft anymore, and I never volunteered to serve myself. But I do have great respect and admiration for everybody that did. The fact that we're here doing this show today, the freedoms we have, these freedoms aren't free. People, you know, made sacrifices, personal hard sacrifices to ensure our freedom. And I just think as a country, we need to honor that. You know, Tuesday is one way of doing it. But I still think as a country, we probably don't do as much as we should do for our veterans and those that served. And today's show is our kind of small way to say thank you. And some of the things, Peg, that we're going to talk about are probably financial planning things that are universally applicable, not just to veterans. But some of the things today that we talk about might be specific to veterans. So hopefully this is a well-received topic. And if you're listening and you're not a veteran, there's still probably something in here for you. Peg?
Yeah, my father and I have four brothers. A couple of them served. I have nieces and nephews that are still in the service. And so I kind of keep track of all the things that are going on within the military. And a lot recently has happened, especially for the long time soldiers that were in battle. People hear about Agent Orange, and my husband's brother died of it in his 50s. So really impactful. So I'm glad we're doing this show today. I'd love to start with, you know, we are financial planners. So mapping some of these benefits that you do, that you should get and know about should go into your financial plan. So I've always felt, you know, during the decades of time that I did the job I do, I leaned on the round table a lot because the veterans have some unique benefits that are just to them, like education and housing and taxes. And we're so used to doing financial plans, but they've got some extras, which rightfully so. So some of the things that have happened recently, back in August of 2022, and many of you may know this, there's this thing called the PACT Act, P-A-C-T, PACT Act. And that actually stands for Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxins in Act. And it's the largest healthcare and benefit expansion in the VA history. So a lot of what I'm talking about now are things that you need to look up and make sure that maybe if you qualify, pull out your service record, any exposure history, disability ratings, you know, education benefits, healthcare is a big one, even for people that have served decades ago. So when we meet with people that are veterans or have been veterans, we, you know, make sure that they investigate those things that are kind of just an inventory thing where you need to know, because a lot of these things are recent. There's another recent one under the Rudisil, and I probably am not pronouncing that right, but in 2024, many veterans can now combine a couple different benefits. MGIB stands for Montgomery GI Active Duty, and post 9/11 benefits, you actually get to, was a big win for continuing education and second career. So here's a couple things that are very, very recent because, and well-deserved that people get more benefits. And once again, thank you for serving for all of us, Bruce.
Peg, you know, the PACT Act and the things that you just mentioned, I have to confess I didn't know about until we, you know, started prepping for the show today. And I think that's often the case, that there might be programs, not just for veterans, but other things that government does for people, but people aren't even aware of it. So I think it's good that you brought that up and that we're talking about this, because I can envision veterans right now that might be listening there going, I didn't know about that. And so it's good that, you know, if we can provide some information for people, but I think that's not uncommon, that there's something that's provided for a certain segment, in this case veterans, and they may not know about it, or they may not know logistically how to pursue it. Maybe they've heard of it, but they don't know what to do. So again, that's a great start, bringing up these very recent things that have happened within the last couple of years that I suspect a lot of veterans don't know about.
I was actually really impressed. VA.gov looked at it a couple days ago, and actually easy to follow, you know, search engines. And so it's I liked seeing that it's not too difficult to find some of the definitions we're talking about. What I can tell you is, because I've had a couple brothers and still nieces and nephews, housing and home buying with a VA loan, that I remember from decades ago. Because let's just be truthful here. It's hard to come back from being in the military. And, you know, they're still very, what I would call, strict today. You know how we've been kind of loosey-goosey about rules in our common life, and you can take that for whatever you want that term to be. But the military is just very rigid, right? Brothers that are still in it, and nephews, that, you know, it's the way that they talk to each other, the way that they, the rules they follow, and they all take it very seriously. But a stable home is one of the best rewards that we can help them with. So forever, at a very long time now, you could get interest-free loans for a house. And you didn't have to pay this extra mortgage insurance, because you didn't need to pay down a lot on the house, or you didn't need a down payment to qualify for that. So, and still today, a lot of the interest rates are lower for veterans looking for houses. So I think it's still very veteran friendly and well-deserved, Bruce.
Peg, you just brought up something that I think is kind of overarching on everything we're going to talk about today. I've had the opportunity in the last few years to become really good friends with some veterans. And you know, as you know, Peg, my wife Pamela is a singer, and one of the shows that she's in is actually a tribute to all veterans, but particularly veterans of the Vietnam War era. And as part of that show, there's three veterans that are narrators or tell their real life war stories. And I've become really good friends with these guys. And one of the things that I've learned that I didn't understand before, and you just mentioned it, is how hard it is to segue or transition back into the quote-unquote real world after you've served. It's really difficult for a lot of veterans, whether they saw combat or whether they didn't see combat, but just served in the military, and to go back into civilian life is a hard transition. So this idea of, you know, making it easier for them to get a home, I think, is a wonderful thing. And it's, you know, like you said, the least we can do. But there's other things as well that we're going to get to. But I think that's an overarching theme for all veterans, is that's a tough transition to make back to civilian life.
And still today, Bruce, I can't believe I've got a nephew by marriage that he just leaves for 2 years. He's got three children. I mean, it just pulls my heartstrings that that people are doing that for us. So the next thing is education. Here we are on the show, you know, decades on the show, we're trying to educate people. And education has always been a part of America. So when people come back and want to go, you know, discover something that they want to do outside of the military, because I think some of these long-term military people have a really hard time relating to kind of the corporate world that's out there today. So the 2025-26 GI Bill rates run through July 31st, 2026. So here's kind of a deadline with monthly housing allowance pegged to the E5. Now, good thing they put in parentheses on our outline here, military pay grade with dependents in the school zip code. So that's something new that's actually going to run out mid next year. So you have to pay attention to that. And then I already talked about this ruling where veterans can use their GI Bill programs up to 48 months of education, which is a good amount of time. Those not returning to school can transfer benefits to a spouse or child. That's fantastic. It doesn't necessarily have to be the one who served, but the family is impacted, I would say, not even more, but dramatic to see that family. In my case, you know, watching them with the three children and the mom taking care of the kids, she gets a lot of help, let's just say. Bruce?
Again, another great point by you in that the veterans that serve, it is not just impacting their lives, but, you know, think of the impact on children, on spouses, on parents. I mean, this extends to a lot of different people whose lives are impacted by those that serve. So we've talked about some new things, the PACT Act and such. We talked about help with housing. We talked about help with education. One of the tough things, I think, for anybody, Peg, and especially it gets compounded if you're a veteran, is being able to go out and get insurance, whether it's life insurance, health insurance. And I think because of the fact that they served, veterans can be impacted very negatively in terms of underwriting for various insurance, but there's help there as well.
Yeah, there's a VA Life. The VA's Guaranteed Acceptance Whole Life Program offers up to $40,000 in coverage, which, quite frankly, that's not a lot. I mean, think about not only yourself, but, you know, family. And veterans currently insured under the SDVI, which is Service Disabled Veterans Life Insurance, could transition. So TRICARE 2025 cost updates took effect January 1st. So the plan for those modest premium changes there, service members under the blended retirement system should capture the 5% TSP match. It's free money. So these are all things that are out there, but I think it's easier today. I just want to say again, looking at the VA.gov, we're spelled out quite easily, but once again, I'm the one who's been in this for a long time, so terminology kind of makes sense to me. But, you know, reach out to somebody that you feel that maybe in your situation might be able to help you guide a little, or go to a financial planner that could actually help you, Bruce.
And then we came up with, you and I, the marketing team, we came up with a list of kind of five moves that veterans should consider. And again, when I led into the show, a couple of these are what I was thinking of that in terms of they might be universally applicable, but some of these are very specific to veterans. The five fast financial moves that we came up with, Peg.
Yeah, so document toxic exposure, because that's new, that's elevated with this PACT Act. And, you just get easier care, access, some compensation. So that's a big one. And that's recent. That was 2022 that came out. Two was start school around August 1st. That's when the GI Bill housing rates reset for the academic year. That's interesting. That was new to me. Check your COE, which is a certificate of eligibility. We talked about that right up front on the show. Full entitlement removes loan limits. Four, we just mentioned this VA Life. So review your life insurance with a private term coverage. Apply by December 31st, 2025, if you're converting from SDVI. I don't know what that stands for, but you need to do it by the end of the year. And then five is update your budget. So TRICARE helps with premiums and dental fees and that kind of thing. And this is these are the same kinds of things that we work with clients that work outside of the military, but yet there's some real differences between what you get and what somebody at a corporation gets. And I wish it were more after, you know, researching this a little bit midweek this week. I wish there were more, Bruce.
Yeah, and again, I just think that, you know, as a country, we should do as much as we can for our veterans. They've done so much for us. And the outline and the things that we've talked about so far, Peg, these are all things, you know, again, that some of them are universally applicable, like updating your budget, reviewing your insurance and whatnot. Some of these things are government opportunities or programs specific to veterans that we wanted to make sure that veterans were aware of. One of the things that is not in our outline, we've got a couple minutes left here in the first half of the show, and I don't mean to throw a curveball at everybody, but again, I've in recent years, I've gotten to know a number of veterans because of this show that my wife is in. And one of the big things that veterans struggle with, and I think society is kind of generally aware of it, but maybe don't realize the extent of the problem, but PTSD, or delayed stress after you've served, particularly if you served in combat. This goes all the way back to the Vietnam War era. Peg, I've seen guys in this show. The show is so poignant and so moving. I've seen guys, you know, break into tears and have flashbacks at the show. And you know, so this is, you know, whether it's going back to Vietnam or whether it's more recently in you know, Iraqi or Middle East conflicts where guys serve, this PTSD is an ongoing thing and getting help. And there's an organization that I came in contact with, and I'm not here necessarily to do a plug, but it's called Bravo Zulu, and they help veterans specifically that are struggling with PTSD. So in addition to the government things that we've been talking about in our outline, there's veterans groups or there's organizations out there, if you go do some homework, do some research, to find help with things that that you might be struggling with, whether it's financial or PTSD or whatever it is. Not all the assistance is government. There's other organizations out there that want to help veterans. Peg?
Yeah, Wealth Enhancement Group, actually on their website, wealthenhancement.com, is financial planning tips for veterans. And it's not exactly what we talked about today. Our financial planning department put this together last year in 2024, and it's still very relative. But if you go to resources and then you pull down that menu, it says blog, B-L-O-G. And if you put in the search engine financial planning tips for veterans, I think it's a very well laid out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 checklist and a little bit more detail about each one. So we've had that on our website, and it's still very current, Bruce.
We've got probably a couple minutes left, Peg. Anything else that you wanted to talk about today that you make sure that are key takeaways for listeners? And again, listeners, it's not just veterans, it's families, it's anyone that a service member whose lives they've touched. Any other things that you want to share in the first half? The second half, I think, obviously, will be all questions, the entire second half. But anything else, Peg, that we missed that you wanted to get to?
Well, one of my favorite things, because you asked me, is I'm a golfer, right? And I love golfing. Well, there's an organization called Tee It Up for the Troops. And every summer in Minnesota, it's actually a national deal, but they pair you up with a veteran. And it's just super cool because you do get to know a little bit more about how their life is, what resources they have, that kind of thing. So there's something that I tie with my golf with Tee It Up for the Troops. And I think that's a great organization, but there's so many out there. So I would say if you're listening today and you're a generous person, look up some of these things that could help, because I can't, once again, I can't believe how like this family right now that has three children, and she stays at home. And yes, she's got family support, but it's hard for these families, Bruce.
Yeah, it affects so many lives. And again, it's a small thing, and I'm not trying to toot my horn, but one of the things that we do, closed clothing drives. So there's a veterans organization that we have contact with, and several times a year, we put out for them for pickup several bags of clothing that we're never going to use again. And it's amazing how that can stockpile. I think, I just gave away a bunch of clothes not that long ago, but I have more clothes to give away, whether it's out of fashion or my changing size or whatever it is. There always seems to be stuff to give away. So there's things that we can do for veterans. So the second half, any and all financial questions, it just does not have to be only on this topic. But if any veterans or families of veterans have stories or things that they want to share, we would take those calls as well. Susie?
All right, 651-461-9226. Now is your chance to call or text your question. Again, Bruce and Peg will answer any question you have. We've been talking about veterans, but a lot of people still are out there wondering about what to do with their money. This is your opportunity, 651-461-9226. We'll be back right after this quick break. And we are back for the second half of Your Money. Once again, Bruce Helmer, the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and financial advisor and senior vice president and financial advisor, Peg Webb. And we welcome you to the show, 651-461-9226. We're honoring veterans this Sunday. We are also honoring you with your questions. Please feel free to jump in at any time, 651-461-9226. Bruce, Peg?
Yeah, Susie Jones, just really quickly, we spent the first half talking about some specific financial planning opportunities for veterans. And I just want to encourage everybody, since Tuesday is Veterans Day, and you know a veteran, you see a veteran, somebody wearing military, thank a veteran. Just say thank you. I know from experience, just even that little gesture means a lot. Peg, anything before we get to listener questions?
No, I would love to get listeners involved.
All right, we have Lee on the line to ask a question of Bruce and Peg. Lee, go ahead. You are on the air.
Yes. I was wondering how the government decides how much your Medicare payment is. I know when your assets increase through Irma, they adjust it. Well, how about if your income decreases? Like in my case, I'm a widow, so there's one Social Security check coming in, not two.
Advice to Lee? Peg, do you want to jump in?
Oh, sure. So the IRMA that Lee was talking about is income related on how much you have to pay. The real confusing part about this payment to Medicare, and I actually call it a tax, is 2 years prior. So what happens is people tend to forget that they had paid this money or they were charged this money, but yet it's on a couple year later tax return. So that confuses a lot of people. So what happens is in the year that you're currently doing your taxes, you may forget that you already had paid that a couple years ago, and it should automatically go back to what your tax return shows each and every year. So it is something that changes every year that's looked at to see how much you're going to have to pay. Bruce?
Yeah, and then it gets even more complicated than that, Peg, because you actually can file a request to have that premium increase reduced or dropped if you can prove that the income from 2 years ago was a non-recurring event. It was some sort of an outlier. You sold a highly appreciated asset or something like that, and it's not going to continue. You may be able to get relief, but there's no gradual vesting. It's a cliff. So right now, as an example, if you're a married couple filing jointly and your modified adjusted gross income is $212,000 or lower, your Medicare Part B premium is $185 a month, But if you go $1 over that $212,000, it jumps all the way to $273 a month. And then there's a variety of different levels where your costs can go all the way up to $715 a month. So this is a big deal. And whenever you hear Peg and I talk about tax planning on the show, we talk about income tax planning for the current tax year, but we talk about ripple effects. This is one of those ripple effects that so you can be impacted on your Medicare Part B premiums 2 years into the future. You can be impacted on the amount of tax you pay on your Social Security benefit. So there's a lot of confusing things to consider when you look at comprehensive tax planning and retirement income planning. Peg, any other thoughts?
Well, I like what you said, Bruce, in that, I don't like it, but it's something we deal with, is that $1 over and you go into the next bracket. What I want to say is even though we do a lot of pre-planning for taxes, so here we are in November, we did a tax show a couple weeks ago about tax planning for 2025, that you try to stay in a lower bracket, but sometimes it's just impossible, right? The 1099 comes in and interest rates are still high on money markets and safe assets, that people don't realize that all of that has a 1099 too. So we try our hardest to keep people under a certain bracket, but it is difficult to do that. But I would say the lion's share of people that are retired are still in that first tier bracket. You know, when they're retired, they don't have as much income coming in as a working person does.
Bruce?
That's good.
Susie? All right. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Appreciate that call from Lee. And if you want to call, you can use that number as well. You can also text us questions at 651-461-9226. I have a question for Bruce and Peg. We're talking about tax brackets. Have they always remained the same? I mean, like, you've got the 22%, I don't know where it goes from there. Is it someone set that in like 1800 and it's still the same?
No, it changes all the time.
Okay, I didn't know that. Because that's such an important number for people. And like you said, Peg, sometimes you inadvertently don't realize you've bumped up, and you really do have to be mindful because it can make a pretty big difference, can it, if you go up to the next bracket?
Yeah, so what happens, Susie, is there's a 12% bracket, 22%, 24%, 32%. And this is for 2025. What people get confused on, and Bruce, you bring this up a lot, is if you're in the 12% bracket and you have a top income taxable of $48,475 for 2025, and let's say you do a dollar over or you do $1,000 over, and you jump into the 22% bracket, you don't jump in with all the $48,475 automatically at 22% then. It's a graduated system. So if I have $1,000 that goes into the 22% bracket, I only have to pay 22% on that $1,000 that went over the 12%. And this is so confusing to people. Normally, when you go have your taxes done by a CPA or an accountant or somebody, they're just plugging it all into a computer and give you the average of what you paid percentage-wise in all the different categories, 12, 22, 24, 32. They get blended. And so there still is a lot of confusion around that. But I like the fact that they're not going to jump you into another higher bracket. They allow us to have the lower brackets, the middle brackets, the high brackets, depending on what your income is. Bruce?
Yeah, and Susie, to your original question, this has changed often over the years. There was a time in our lifetime that the top federal tax bracket was like 80-some percent. Well, now it's only 37%. So when we look at a history of federal income taxes, they're actually lower now than they've ever been in our history, but they've changed a lot of times. And the most recent change, you know, the was 10 years ago, and all those changes were set to sunset or be eliminated, and we're going to go back to the old tax rates. But part of President Trump's big, beautiful bill was we locked in these tax rates now, so they're not going to change in 2026. But, Peg, to your point, you know, about bracket creep and avoiding it, we do try to do that in tax planning. But if you can't, and like you said, and you creep into that next bracket just a little bit, it's not desirable, but it's also not the end of the world, because that higher tax rate is only on a small amount of your income. And that's why I think people get confused, Peg, because someone might say, well, you talk about this 10%, 12%, 22%, 24%. My accountant told me I'm in a 15%. The accountant is probably telling you your net blended tax that you paid, because you paid some at 10, some at 12, and some at 22, and it might blend to an effective rate of 15%, and that's the number they're giving you. There is no 15% tax bracket per se, but that might be the net blended rate of tax that you paid on your income. Hey, Peg, I just want to go really quickly, and I know, again, we want to get as many listeners' questions as we can, but I always ask you, or I frequently ask you, most weeks I ask you, what you're hearing out there, what you're getting from clients and meetings, what you're hearing from friends on the golf course. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I'm still hearing is we're starting now, I think, after whatever it is, 30-some days, we're starting to feel the impacts of the government shutdown. We saw some negativity in the stock market last week. I don't know if that's directly related to the shutdown or not. We're seeing flights canceled. This is starting to really impact people's lives now. People on SNAP benefits are being impacted. So what are you hearing, and what does this mean to us as financial advisors and coaching our clients?
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of calls this week. There was definitely a pullback, and it was mostly, you know, AI once again. There's still a lot of enthusiasm out there about AI, but people are starting to wonder if the valuations are too high. And there's probably continued volatility when it comes to AI and the seven biggest companies, which are a huge percentage. I think it's 40% now of the S&P 500. With that said, I believe there's still a lot of room for this whole AI era that we're going into, that we already are in, but we are going bigger and faster. And I relate it to, Bruce, when you and I had the first computer on our work desk. It's going to be that big of an evolution. And companies are trying to figure out, oh, do I not need as many humans? You know, because AI can do simple tasks. There's lots of things out there happening that are going to put a little volatility into the stock market, but I don't think it's permanent. I think there's still a lot of room to go. So that's what I talk to people about. Don't panic, you know, don't just drop out of that particular sector. But once again, you should only be in the percentage of growth that your financial plan says you should be in. I think some people have taken more chances with AI stocks, related stocks, and now they have a bigger percentage because the markets have done well. Still through last week, it was 14.4% on the S&P and 19.1% on NASDAQ. Those are great rates of return. And so maybe it's time to rebalance. You have so many more stocks that have done well within your indexes or your mutual funds or your ETFs. And let's say you're 60% in the stock market now because it has done so well. Maybe it's time to take that 10% off. Just make sure you don't necessarily ride it up all the way. Maybe you need to do some regrouping. Bruce?
Peg, that's a great point. And in addition to that, I would add, you know, I have a lot of clients that I'm working with them very closely on what we call retirement income planning. They're retired, and we're going to create a paycheck for them for life. And we have options on where they can take that paycheck from, right? And some of it is exposed to stocks. Some of the money is not. Some of the money is in tax-deferred plans. Some of the money is in tax-advantaged plans or taxable. So what do we spend first? And does it change? And the answer is, it does. It absolutely does. And it's something we want to look at least once a year, or in many cases, maybe even every 6 months. So, Peg, a lot of my clients in the last few months, when we look at where to take that month, that paycheck from, I've coached them to say, look, the stock market is now at or at least near its all-time high. And in addition to rebalancing, which you just mentioned, it might be a good place to take your income from now, right? Everybody listening understands, at least theoretically, buy low and sell high. So if people want income, I might tell them now, let's sell some stocks. Let's take some money out of the equity part of your portfolio. There's a lot of embedded gains. We're now taking winnings off the table. And for a while, I hadn't been coaching that. I've been coaching them to use cash or some of their other money because I was so bullish on the market, and it was growing and rising, and that was where they were getting their highest return on investment, and I didn't want them to use that money since it was doing so well. But recently, I've been doing the opposite, saying, yeah, let's sell some stocks. And that doesn't mean that I've become bearish or that I believe there's going to be an AI bubble burst or market crash. I just believe that it's never a bad idea to take winnings off the table. And to a certain extent, it's always going to be a guessing game, right? If we sell stocks, doesn't mean the market won't still go a lot higher. It might. But we do know we're taking money at a time when we're locking in gains, where we've got embedded gains, the market's done well, and we're taking some of those profits off the table. And it's never going to be a bad idea to do that. So, yeah, reviewing portfolios for rebalancing, using the stock part of your portfolio to take income if you want money right now, those are all things that we look at because of where the market is, not necessarily because we see impending doom around the corner or an AI bubble burst, which I don't believe is going to happen.
All right, 651-461-9226. The government shutdown, guys, is in its 40th day today. How do you, or where do you, or do you see that impacting folks in their investment planning strategies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've talked many years about the government debt, and I would go on record to say, and if you're my client and you've heard me say this, is it's out of control, right? We're just spending. It's just getting to be more and more trillions of dollars. And so right now, yes, the longer it lasts, the more it's going to be impactful for us. And one of the big issues here is healthcare, the healthcare that was put into place for millions of people within our nation, relying on it maybe didn't work out as well as maybe planned, or, so medical is a big issue. And so one of the things that they have to do, and I think they're getting close, but you're right, a lot of people are being impacted. The airport's one thing, but that's something that people can and may not have to do. Maybe it's leisure, maybe it's work, but food is another thing. And getting people the food is, and I've got goosebumps right now because nobody should be hungry. So I'm hoping that they can make a decision here soon, which I really feel like it's coming soon. Bruce?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic that we might see something happen. Both sides of the aisle are starting to change the narrative in interviews, and hopefully we can see some movement. And again, Peg, to your point about the federal debt and government overspending, I want to be very clear that that's been on both sides of the aisle. I mean, it hasn't been one party or the other. It's been both parties. And when there's a government shutdown, again, I'm not going to pick one side or the other and say it's their fault. I think both parties, bear some of this responsibility. And we, not to get on a soapbox, but we seem to be at a point now as a country where both sides dig in their heels and they won't compromise. And I like to talk about, and again, many of our listeners might be old enough to remember this. I know not all of our listeners are as old as I am. But when President Reagan was president, for much of his time as president, the leader of the Democratic side, the Democratic Speaker of the House, was a guy named Tip O'Neill. And Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan were friends. and they would oftentimes be totally in disagreement about what policy we should take to move the country forward. But they would meet and say, I'll give you this if you give me that, and they'd work out a compromise, and they would get things done rather than just dig in their heels and have a complete stalemate. We seem to have lost that ability or desire to compromise. And you know, this is not an exact science. If these things were an exact science, there wouldn't be two political parties. We all are Americans. We all want what's best for our country, what's best for our families, what's best for our community. But we might not always agree on what is the best path to get there, and that's okay. That's what makes us a democracy, that we have the freedom to have our own ideas and own thoughts. But we can't just continue to say it's my way or no way, and then nothing gets done. So I hope they get this resolved. It's starting to be very impactful. And yes, Susie, to your question, are there specific things that we're looking at in terms of advising clients? Peg has mentioned she's talked about the federal debt and deficit for years. And again, that might impact on how much risk you want to take in your portfolio. If you think this is going to be reflected in the value of the stock market and you know, things like that. So, yeah, it's a huge deal. I wish I had a smarter, better answer, but the best answer is we just get this resolved and hopefully get things back to normal sooner than later.
I will say this, Bruce and Peg, that I had a chance to, you mentioned dropping off clothes. I dropped off food at a pantry in St. Louis Park, and they were just inundated. So many people are bringing food and clothes. So it is sort of nice. I mean, it's terrible, but that people really are rallying to help others during this time. And you do see that maybe the best in people when we're in a tough spot.
Yeah, I know listeners have heard me mention before that one of my business interests is the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. And if you go to ChanhassenDT.com, we've partnered right now with Second Harvest Heartland that you can go online and make a contribution and partner up. What's cool about Second Harvest Heartland is $1 of contribution, because of their business model and their ability to buy food in bulk and whatnot, $1 might feed 3 people. It's very effective, and it's a great way to help out. So yeah, bringing actual food cans to these places, to these food shelves, or financial donations, it's a great time to do that right now for a lot of reasons. The time of year and the government shutdown. And Susie, I'm guessing you're going to tell me, and Peg, we're about out of time.
You're about out of time. But as Peg says, you know, it's heartbreaking to think that anyone's hungry. So it's good of everybody to step up if they can. Right, Peg?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, if you did not get your question answered this hour, we invite you to go ahead and call Wealth Enhancement directly. It's 1-888-6-ADVICE, 1-888-6-ADVICE, or you can always email your questions to Bruce or Peg at yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. That's yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Give them a call. Make an appointment for a free consultation. Make sure everything's set for you and your money picture in retirement. Make it a great week.